Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards. Save big money
at what is this idiot doing?
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Please stop talking.
ESPN 97.5.
Here they come, yo. All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Everybody present and accounted for. And looking forward to taking you on a ride for the next 3 hours as we take you till 4. Then the Blitz will take you till 7, all right here on ESPN 97.5. Fellas, what is going on?
What goes?
What it do?
It does what it does.
Yeah?
You know, here and there.
I got to admit, 24 hours later, things are different.
You already sound different, which is good.
Yeah. You know, it's weird how 12 hours can make a huge difference in the life of an old kitty cat. Mm-hmm. Like, he couldn't walk when I left the house yesterday. Like, literally could not walk. And I thought, well, I'm going to go home and find him in the middle of the room somewhere in his own pee and poo because he can't walk and he hadn't eaten and it's just going to be awful. And I got home and he was okay. I mean, he's not good. I think we're talking weeks instead of months left. But, man, now he's walking around again. I'm like, bro, now you've made me look like an idiot. You kind of have to go now.
It's just I've got
an appointment at 4:00, and I've told the whole world, like, we're doing this. And he's like, no, I'm good. I'm okay. The hip is okay. I can move. Like, he's walking around. And I was like, damn, I'm glad to see it, though. I'm excited that, you know, he was able to get up and move around. But then I was like, well, we're going to keep the appointment just to make sure and see what's going on. Because the fear is that he's in a lot of pain. They don't express it like you and me would. Like,
right.
You know, I'd walk in if my hip didn't work and be like, oh, my hip don't work. I can't do this no more. But a cat can't do that. So I want to make sure that he's not in pain and suffering, because the last thing I want to do is just have him trying to run out the clock on his life in a horrible way. So it's weird. It's a very fluid situation. So then I kind of felt like a jerk because I told you what happened yesterday where I called the – and by the way, can I just say, and I'm not plugging them because they sponsor us, but I have to say the folks at the Rayford Animal Wellness Clinic up in Spring – amazing.
Really?
Amazing. Todd and his crew, they take care of pets. And like, if you're in that area and you have a vet, I would highly recommend you change, because they are just the sweetest people. So I called and I was like, dude, I'm really sorry that I'm doing this, but like 12 hours later and I come home and he's able to walk a little, you know, he's good. He limps, he's slow. He's not real steady on his feet, but he can walk, and I don't know what the hell to do. And he goes, dude, we'll just, you know, keep the appointment, but bring him in and let's see where he's at and let's look at it. And I mean, they couldn't have been nicer or more. And I was like, you know, I'll just cancel it, because he kind of just opened it up for me. Because I told you when I called, they were like, I think the only slot we have is Tuesday. And it was some guy. Well, apparently I was like, well, bro, I don't Tuesday, I guess. But I mean, what if he passes tomorrow?
Right.
What the hell am I going to do? So then I had hit up Todd, and he was like, oh, no, don't worry about that. You know, that guy's kind of new. He doesn't know what – he goes, this is what we do. You come in, you know, tomorrow at 4:00, and we'll make it happen. And So I said, look, if we need to move it to Tuesday now because he's better. He goes, no. He's like, you got the slot. Let's do this. I mean, it couldn't be nicer and more accommodating.
And that's what you need in a situation like that. Because your mind's going a million different places. You're, you know, gut checking if you're doing the right thing. To have someone that brings you some of that stability and flexibility is what you need.
A lot of tears flowed last night. That is for sure. It's a much brighter day. And then it's just how long does that last?
Well, it's good that we hear that, and that's good news as everybody's feeling a lot better for you and for Nora and for the cat.
So, Sebastian is his name.
Seabass.
Yeah, so, which is, you know, not the toughest name in the world for a cat. The wife chose that, so I don't...
I would have bet 2-1 you did.
No, if I had a cat, I don't think I would name it Sebastian.
Sure?
Yeah. I was there.
Okay.
I would probably name it, like, Tom.
Could see that. Morris.
Yeah. You know, something I don't know.
Nerdy. Plain.
Generic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But not Sebastian. I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it was was there a story behind it?
Is he a French painter? Is this like an ex that broke your heart that you can't let it go, but you're not telling me why?
No story behind Sebastian, just felt like it was the right fit.
Just Sebastian. And then we gave our cat a middle name, which I'm not proud of.
Bring it.
Hunter.
Wow.
So I don't know why we gave a cat a middle name, but there's no plans to give my dog a middle name when I get it. That's just not going to happen. He's going to have one name.
Like the birth certificate, you ran out of paper. No. Sebastian Hunter Laminack.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not proud of it. I don't. Who gives their animal a middle name besides me and my weirdo wife? Nobody gives their. Do any of your pets have a middle name?
No, sure.
Does Chiquita have a middle name? I don't know. What's your dog's name?
Chiquita.
Does she have a middle name?
She does not.
What would Chiquita's middle name be if you gave her one?
I wouldn't even think of one.
Bonita. Chiquita Bonita.
I like it.
Shirara.
Yeah. I ain't mad at that.
Okay. Now we got to give your dog's middle names.
We don't have that much time.
We've got, what's the three-legged dog's name?
Bobo.
Bobo?
Yeah. I told you why. Because Lisa loves the name Bo.
Yeah.
But I said, you can't just call every dog you've ever rescued Bo. And besides that, this dog only has three legs. It has a unique tendency to bounce. So I was like, I'll go Bobo because Bo bounces. And she's like, I like it. So we went Bobo because he bounces when he walks.
So you had a Bo. Now you have a Bobo. The next one will be Bobo. No. Like 10 years from now, Joel's going to have a dog named Bo.
Wait for it. The next one will be Bell Bib de Bo.
Oh, God. You should totally do that. You should totally do that.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah. BBB.
BBD.
No, Bell Bib
de Bo.
Whatever.
Well, okay, what's Bobo's middle name?
No.
What do you mean, no? That's a stupid name. Bobo no? Bobo no blank? That's terrible. I like Chiquita Bonita Shirara. That's pretty dope. Are we going to change that? Are you going to file the paperwork to have it amended?
Probably not going to do that, no.
Why?
Lisa had some funny ones like Christopher Walken.
For the three-legged dog?
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. She had a couple good
ones. His middle name? Not?
Oh, Dennis Hopper. She thought Dennis Hopper was another one.
That is really good.
Dennis Hopper, yeah.
Lisa's good at this.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know how I named Bubba when I got Bubba, when I first adopted Bubba? Like, they told me.
Because you couldn't say brother.
No, they told me when I went to rescue him, like, the dog's only 4 months old, but they said the owner had called him Bubba. So I was like, meh. And then I went to the vet for the first time. And the vet, when you're in the waiting room, has a loudspeaker. And they're like, now entering the vet room, Bubba blank, Bubba blank. And I went, well, at the time, the Packers tight end was Bubba Franks. And I'm like, Bubba blank, Bubba Frank, done. He's saying he's Bubba for the rest of his life. I'm good.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's how we got
Bubba. So we have Bobo.
Uh-huh. Boomer.
Okay, what's Boomer's middle name going to be?
I don't know.
Don't
know.
Boomer Sooner.
No.
No?
No.
I kind of like that.
Of course you do.
No?
Your cat has a middle name. Of course you do. I just know. Right.
See, this is a judgment-free zone, Joel.
Like the Chihuahua.
Judgment-free.
Lisa called the Chihuahua Luna. And I don't
tick.
And I
Luna
don't,
tick blank.
That would work.
There you go.
But I wasn't for the name Luna. So I just continually called the dog Little One.
A-hole.
No. And now Lisa even calls the dog Little One. You just say, come on, Little One, and Little One comes running.
Well, we actually don't call Sebastian. Really? because he he's not anymore, but he was very fat. Like, he was like 16, 17 pounds. For a cat?
That's big.
That's a fat cat. So we just called him Gord. For Gordo. We just called him Gord. That's been like, because, you know, she's Hispanic and she speaks Spanglish. So she'd be like, you know, when he was, even when he started getting big, she's like, oh, my little Gordo. And we just start calling him Gord.
Yeah. So that's why little one works. If you go anywhere in the house, if Lisa goes, little one, this little dog come running from anywhere.
That's cool. So, yeah. Well, yeah. I feel like giving an animal a middle name is definitely a white person thing, too.
Or a berry person thing, too, because I have dogs. We don't have any animals with middle names.
I mean, I know other white people that have given their dogs and cats middle names. It's not just, I didn't invent this. I didn't start this.
How many suspects out there have a pet in which they have a middle name?
I bet you there's more than you think. Do you think? How many do you think we'll get? How many suspects? And you guys have to, if you don't have to tell us you don't. I just want to hear from the people that their pets.
Yeah, because we're not going to do percentages.
Whether it's your fish or you have a pet squirrel or, you know, we have a lot of Beaumont listeners. Maybe you have a raccoon that's one of your, what?
See.
Maybe.
That's just not nice, Nick. That's mean-spirited. That's how you piss off the 409.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to do that.
Nope.
The 409 will come
Nick
after
Nick speaks
you.
From experience.
So, you know, if you have a pet raccoon, what's his middle name? Beaumont, I want to know. Golden Triangle?
You're opening up a whole kingdom.
There's a forum actually called Daily Kitten. And they're talking about middle names for cats. You'd be pretty excited.
See? Yeah. Send me that link, bro.
I'll put it on the rundown.
How many, Nick? On the rundown,
how many texts and tweets do you think that we will get? Okay, I'll set an over-under, okay? I'm going to set an over-under with the thousands upon thousands of listeners that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I'll set it at 10.
I think
and I think it's all going to be, I don't think we'll get a black person or a Hispanic or an Asian that'll have a middle name for their pets. I think it'll be, I'll set the over under at 10 white people.
Does a hyphen count?
No, because that's part of the name.
Okay, I'm just checking.
Right?
Because you threw it out there, so I'm throwing it out there.
No, that would be part of the first name.
Okay.
So it's got to be a legitimate separation.
In Asian culture, the first name's the last name. Remember that.
Okay, no, don't start making this complicated and racist.
I'm just saying.
All right, I'm going to
set the fact that you set the over-under, some suspects don't even have a pet, they're going to go, yeah, Bartholomew's my cat's middle name.
I'm gonna set it at 10. What are you taking, the over or the under?
Because of the way you've done this, over.
How did I do it? I just set it up.
Because you're going to get a bunch of yahoos that don't even own pets that are going to tell you this.
That's not true.
You
have a lot of fans, so they're going to want you to.
No,
so
it's you.
They're going to want you to win. So you
it's
tell
you,
me.
Mr. Popular.
Honestly, what would you think? In your heart of hearts.
Over 10.
Okay, Nick, over under 10
I'm
that we'll
say
get
under.
In the next. You'll say under in the next 3 hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where are you going?
I'm probably going to take the over.
You need to.
Yeah, because it was my idea.
Your idea. I'm just saying.
That would have been pretty bad if I took the under.
Yeah. It's like, you know, there's a lot of confidence in this idea. All right, if you guys want to vote and or just chime in, 713-780-3776, text that number. Or you can tweet us, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at The Producer Nick. And, of course, that call-in number is also used for taking calls on the HRNP listener line. 713-780-ESPN gets you into the show. We're just getting started. It's The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's Nick. It's Barry. It's Joel. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. And because you guys are suspects and we love you, we've got two opportunities to win lap tickets today. And if you're not a suspect, you're way too excited because we're not doing this at a strip club. Lap tickets are listener appreciation party tickets. We're going to set the bar for the first one and not tell you yet about the second opportunity. So in the 2 o'clock hour, we will be giving away lap tickets. Nicholas, you haven't participated to date yet on picking an advanced time. So you pick it between the hours of 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. What time should the callers call?
Let's just do 2:25 and 2:45.
No, no, no. I said we're not doing the second one yet. We may do the
third
one.
So then we'll just do 2:25 and we won't reveal the second one.
2:25 and what caller?
25. Is that
caller 25 at 2:25. You heard it here first. You may not hear it again because I know certain people that will remain nameless don't want me to mention it again, Rico, so that they can win. Oh, yeah.
We don't care if Rico.
Caller 20. Well, then you can be. I'm going to mention it now. Barry's going to remind you until 2:25. You start calling as soon as the clock hits that number, 2:25 p.m. Caller 25, two tickets to the listener appreciation party. And you need to pay attention because it's going to be a hell of a time. You can only get in with an invite. You have to be 21 or over, but it is going to be a party because all of us are going to be there. It'll give you an opportunity to meet all your favorite hosts. Check out the Gow Media studio and all the offices and where Sports Map and Culture Map do their business every single day. There's going to be food by Big City Wings. Barry's a big fan there, and we all
love
are
that.
Too. Coors Light for the beverage of choice. Obviously, who doesn't want a little Coors Light? And the fact that the Zumo Mean Company is going to be involved. Zumo Meat Company and Tabasco have partnered to create three brand new flavorful items, all created using the finest quality meat and perfect amounts of Tabasco that give you that special flavor. It's on sale now at your local Kroger. And I'm going to tell you right now, we have taken a step back from a marketing and promotions area.
Oh, why?
Because we used to, and lately, our Courtney's been fantastic about getting us copy that we can just read.
Yep.
Fellas, I want to tell you that in this read alone, it went from the Zumo Mean, like angry, like not nice, the Zumo Mean Company.
To the Zumo, I noticed that.
The second line, it's the Zumo Meat Company, all right? Then it's to let you know that the Zumo Meat Company has partnered with Tabasco. However, in the second sentence, it's partnered with tobacco. So if you want a good smoke after you get your meat on, this is where you got to go. It's at your local Kroger. I'm going to take a big red pen and circle the mistakes and put a grade appropriate on the top and return this to Courtney's desk. But again, as I mentioned, the only way to get an invite to the listener appreciation party is to win them. So good luck to you. 713-780-3776 is the number to call. 2:25 during our show. Good luck.
We're being inundated with texts.
I told you.
Boy, yeah, this is a lot.
And they're all liars. So, I told you.
Here we go. Barry, I had a black cat named Batman who I recently had to put down after 10 years. I'm sorry about that, Adam. I feel lucky, though. 20 years.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is that a middle name?
Batman?
Yeah.
No, it's Batman. All one word. No, it's
Batman
all one word.
Batman Laminac?
Nope, all so one word. Sorry about your cat, Adam. That sucks. We named our cat Leroy Jenkins Anderson. So there's one. Oh, by the way, on Twitter, both Philip and April said that they had middle names for their animals. One dog, Gracie Mae, and the other cat, Jack
Chase. Definitely over at this rate.
Why? Because we're just getting started
listed
on them?
Like six.
I told you this was going to happen.
Well, no, that's just three right there. Just I read the one tweet, the one text, and the two tweets. That's three. We named our cat Leroy Jenkins Anderson. Did I read that one? Is that the one I just read?
Yeah, you just read that one.
All right. Oh my gosh, I have two pit bulls. Both have middle names. Ayana Cheyenne. What? You named a pit bull Cheyenne?
Ayana Cheyenne, which is so you can just call it.
I feel
Izzy.
Like Cheyenne would be the first name in
right Cheyenne Ayana.
But
and the other's name is Kimbo Slice. That's dope.
Yeah, I like that one.
So that's four.
That's actually a fantastic name.
My dog definitely has a middle name. That's not Weird Barry. That's five. My wife and kids gave our dogs middle names. Glad we're not the only ones. That's six. I don't know how it started, but the wife and I have a running joke about her being a TLC fan, so our cat's middle name is Left Eye. Seven. I'm with you, Barry. My dog is Gracie Mae. That's eight. My cat's middle name is Ray. That's nine. I have a Chihuahua named Axel Gray. We are white folk. That is 10. My dog is Katie Marie. That's from Chris Householder.
It's over.
11.
It's over.
Done. Thank you. White people, stand up.
I knew it. And they're not done. You're going to get
oh,
more.
Oh, no, it's
although
still coming
part
in.
Part of these, I don't know, like Macy Gray. Is that a full name or is that their last name is Gray?
Well, that's what I thought, because everybody that's given middle names to cats, it's always two names. I feel like they're giving them last names.
Right.
Like, we refer to Taylor all the time as Taylor Blank. Taylor Blank, get in here.
Yeah.
And a lady at the store said, oh, my middle name is I'm Taylor Blake, too. And I went, no, her last name's Blank.
Boy, they're just rolling in. I mean, we're about to hit 20. I'm just starting to have to delete. There's a black Great Dane with a middle name.
See, I figured there'd be more jokes.
White guy with my dog. His name is Ellie Mae Bird.
What?
You named your dog Ellie Mae?
Nick, sounded. You're right, Nick. It sounded like a joke. What do you get when you get a black...
a black Great Dane?
Walking into the bar.
Somebody said, I have two pit bulls, both have middle names, and I'm black, Barry! It was all caps at the end. So we have our first black delegate with an animal with middle names, so that's good. We're breaking stereotypes here. We're breaking boundaries.
I like that link that I sent you.
You do it every day. You just turn the microphone on.
That link that I sent...
Everybody still thinks you're black.
It's true.
That link that I sent you says... my cat's name is Siler Dracula because he likes to bite, too.
What?
Yeah.
That's a weird...
Siler Dracula.
Siler?
Yeah, not Skyler. Siler. S-Y-L-E-R.
Wait. Courtney might have written the copy. it might be Skyler.
S-Y-L-A-R.
Yeah, that's a stupid-ass name.
I'm assuming that's how you pronounce it.
Sorry if your name is Siler, but that's a stupid-ass name.
Siler Dracula.
Wow.
Not even Cyber?
Nope.
Okay.
LOL, my wife is black, I'm white. She gives all of our dogs middle names. So, now let's see if we can get to 10 black folks that give their dogs middle names. White folks, we could get to 100, apparently. I was right. That's definitely a white folk thing. We'd be hard-pressed to find 10 black folks. We're at two right now. Yeah, we're at two. And one Hispanic. So we're breaking boundaries and stereotypes here. Speaking of breaking, if you want to break away for a vacation, you need to check out besthotelrates.com. That is the play. That is the place to get great hotel rates. And they have over 600,000 hotels that they work with and have negotiated special rates just for you. All you got to do is log on to besthotelrates.com, put in your travel destination, the dates of travel. Right after that, you get those discounted rates, and that's probably at places you're already staying. So why not save a little money in the process and book with besthotelrates.com? You're going to get great customer service. They're going to back up your reservation so your stay is safe and secure. So check them out today. Start planning your next trip. It's in the name, besthotelrates.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, half hour gone. 2.5 to go in the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Having some fun the day after Grinky.
Man, how pumped is this city right now?
Crazy, crazy excited.
More excited or less excited than the Verlander trade?
Same. I think.
You think it's the same?
I think it's the same. The only way I would go advantage Verlander is because I think people thought that this was more needed and necessary and put them over the top, as opposed to this trade was like a lot of people, including myself, said, I think they're okay without him, but with him, they become the clear-cut favorite.
Yeah.
So I would say same.
I would say that there was a ton more excitement now, and here's why. All right. When the Astros made the trade for Verlander, you remember that the team was disappointed. Remember Keuchel came out and said in so many words that he didn't feel like management was doing everything that they could.
Reddick, too, got in on that.
And so they make the deal at the last second to get Verlander here, and it's a miracle. And I think people were pumped because they know that it made them better. But you didn't have the mentality of, and I'm using we just as a fan, we're going to win it all now. Like, you felt like, oh boy, they're going to make a run in the playoffs. They're going to be really tough to handle adding Justin Verlander. But you didn't get the sense that, well, they're a lock to win the World Series. This time around, with the way that the lineup is playing, the fact that they have the second best record in baseball, best record in the AL, they've been consistently good all year. They struggled a little bit in June, but they were also banged up during that time. And, you know, you're getting, but this time around, you've got two bona fide aces on the staff. You feel like you were already picked to make a deep playoff run. The expectations were already high. And none of the other teams that you're really competing with did a bunch to make themselves better. So this time around, it's like, oh, damn, it's World Series or bust. Last time it was like, hey, deep playoff run, something to be proud of. Now, I think the pressure is on because if it's anything but a World Series, everyone's going to be disappointed. I really believe that. No, I'm saying making it, not winning it. That's a whole different thing.
And here's the thing.
But anything short of making it to the World Series, I feel like is going to be a disappointment. And you know what? When you have three of the best pitchers in baseball on one staff, you absolutely should be disappointed if you don't make it to the World Series.
Four of the top 15, three of the top
10.
10.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and here's the thing. I don't disagree with you.
Because you can talk a lot about others, but ERA-wise.
All the pressure before the deadline was Brian Cashman.
Mm-hmm.
And he crapped the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now all the pressure for all the good you've done and being the team that literally, in a lot of ways, and we talk about this later, saved the day for Major League Baseball and saved their bacon their first year with this single deadline. But in a lot of ways, you made the biggest splash, but now you've also
taken
on the biggest pressure
That's
and
right.
expectations.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Anything short of getting to the World Series, as an organization, as a fan base, I think everyone collectively is disappointed. The fans, the players, the front office. But you know what? You gotta make the moves to go for it. And how lucky is this city to have an owner like Jim Crane
mm-hmm.
and to have a GM like Jeff Luhnow that has completely, like, here's what's crazy is, I feel like this organization has almost lifted this Houston sports curse. Because my whole life I lived here, and I always felt like there was this cloud over sports in our city. Even with the Rockets championships, I never felt
it was tempered in some ways because of Jordan.
Exactly, and now like the Rockets are, you know, at Western Conference Finals, MVP candidates. The Texans, they make the playoffs, but they're just not good enough to advance. But you know what? They're not losers. They're not the Browns. They're a middle-of-the-road 500 football team that somehow figures out a way to get in the playoffs and look bad. And it could be worse, though. I remember 2-14 seasons with the Oilers, even though the Texans had one, too. I remember a ton of bad seasons with the Oilers. And it always felt like something happened, right? Like, Astros got to a World Series and just got blown out. They looked awful. It was such a Houston thing to have happen. And now I don't feel like that as a sports fan. I have my angst with the Texans because they don't do certain things. I just don't feel this cloud. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we have some new owners, new ownership in the Rockets and new ownership in the Astros that seem to be doing smart sports things and not dumb business things.
I will say this. You can't take away anything from Les Alexander in terms of his go-for-it mentality.
Totally agree with that.
Because of Pippen and Barkley and
he was never afraid
Tracy
to sign
McGrady
a star.
Dwight Howard, all the guys
whether
he went
it worked
after,
or not.
Right. Right.
But he was never afraid to spend
but
money on a star. You're right.
Not only swinging for the fences, but having that success rate of getting able to see them come to fruition. I don't think that the Astros are getting enough credit for the fact that when you look at the last 3 years for the Astros, and you got Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, and now you've got Zach Greinke. I mean, those are big-time moves. The Rockets' moves, obviously, were spread out over time and due to necessity
and most
and
of
other
them
things.
Failed.
Right, and a lot of them failed due to injuries and otherwise, but the bottom line was they didn't come to fruition.
Right.
The Astros, with their first one right off the top, give you a World Series title. Then, last year, no fault of theirs, they just kind of ran into the injury bug, and it just, you know, it kind of all stockpiled on them while the Red Sox were rolling, and they lost. But now, you get a chance to go for it again, and that's why when we had the discussion yesterday, the more I thought about it, the more I really believe that I don't care whatever these prospects may amount to with Arizona. If you win another one this year and you've won two out of the last 3 years, now you're talking about a legacy.
Yeah.
Not just like a Florida Marlins win and then fire sale, or, you know, teams like the Royals. Again, they won it, and then because they weren't in it enough the next year, they just kind of started clearing house. This is where you start talking about a dominant team over maybe a decade when you start piecing things like this together.
Yeah, and you've got a front office that's not in disarray. It's and look for all the stuff that they have done good, you know, and Daryl Morey is labeled as a genius and he's done some amazing things.
Don't ruin my day.
He's done some amazing things, but you still feel like there's this undertone of dysfunction within that organization, within the Rockets. And the Texans, it's a well-documented dysfunction. And it just has been there.
Tad Brown still the Rockets.
From the get-go. But with the Astros, there was dysfunction, and Drayton McClain gutted the farm system, and everything looked bleak. And you go out and you get a guy from the Cardinals and Jeff Luhnow that you feel like he knows what he's doing. Yeah. You go out and get a young A.J. Hinch who had a taste of manager experience and didn't have success in
it. Good point.
But his analytical mind and his fresh way of looking at things was different. And they took a chance on him. And the marriage between the way he managed and approached the game and the way Jeff Luhnow approached the game was perfect. And then you added an owner who said he was going to spend money when the time was right, and he kept his word. Because I'll be honest, I doubted him. I didn't like when he got here, when Crane got here. I was like, this dude, he's gutted the team. My wife and I stopped going to games. Because like, if you're not going to spend money, I'm not going to spend money. And he's kept his word. He's done everything he promised he would do. It's amazing, really.
But I think you touched on it. I think you hit on it and answered your own question in terms of that kind of that edge of instability, if you want to call it that, with the Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you hit right on it. It's the harmony not only between the general manager and the ownership, but it's the general manager and the coach. And if you think about it, there was a disconnect between Morey and McHale. There was a disconnect between Morey and Adelman. There was a disconnect, and now you've got this disconnect because D'Antoni wanted an extension. Really, realistically, D'Antoni couldn't do much more to earn an extension. Short of a championship, you took a team that a lot of people thought would have won the championship if one of your two best players didn't have a hamstring issue.
Yep.
Then you took a team that was 13th out of 14th in the West with injuries galore. You got them to a top four seed. You got them into a series with the Warriors. Their best player goes down. Short of beating the Warriors, again, just look at the body of work to get you to that point to have that chance against Golden State and say, Mike D'Antoni did his job at a very high level, but yet the general manager's doubting him. The ownership's doubting him. We don't know if he's going to have a job by midseason. So I think that's it. And here's the other thing. I think there's a ton of pressure now on the Houston Texans because everybody that looks at what's just gone down, Russell Westbrook this year, now Zach Greinke, and you're like, and the Texans did, and the Texans drafted, and the Texans went out and signed, and now the Texans don't have a guy to go out and sign him. What's going on over there? Because the bigger question becomes, we all know this is labeled a football state. It's a football town.
Mm-hmm.
People love their football, and we know the damn song.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, does that build in a pass for this franchise all the time? Like, well, look, you won a whole bunch of games in the regular season last year, and you got in the playoffs. Win. That's kind of where I think Bill O'Brien sometimes gets this false bravado and confidence is, hey, I don't care if I was 9-7 or whatever our record was. We won the division. We got to the playoffs. We had a chance. We're doing what we need to do. No, you're really not.
If you're not getting better every year, and that's the difference. The Astros, you know, that first year in 2015, they made the playoffs.
And they got beat by the Royals.
And they got beat by the Royals, and they should have won. Yep. And then they stumbled a little bit the next year, but you could see that the team still had it,
mm-hmm.
and they made the improvements. Then 2017 comes around. They added some pieces. They got rid of some guys that were fringe players that you respected what they did, but they just didn't seem to fit the direction that this team was headed in. And by that, I mean the likes of Colby Rasmus and some of these guys that, you know, they were exactly what the team needed at the time to get them over the hump and make them serious, to make teams and people take them serious. Mm-hmm. But they weren't going to be key pieces in winning a championship. So they do that. And now it's not like they hadn't figured it out before, but this roadmap of, we're rebuilding from scratch. And now they're literally the model franchise of baseball. And I've never seen so many Astros fans in my whole life. And I joke a lot on this show about bandwagon fans and where were you guys 10 years ago and name an Astro from the 86 team and this and that. But at the end of the day, you know, you can become a fan now or you could be a fan 20 years ago. But if you're a fan, you're a fan. And it's great to see that this organization, this city has never had something to be this proud of.
Well, and here's the thing. It goes back to the two
Rockets championships.
Right, and it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday.
And love you, Blue.
If
and
you're not getting better, then you're getting worse. When we talked about the two questionable position groups for the Texans, you didn't get better. So in essence, you got worse. Because the fact of the matter is you have to show progression. And you're right. The thing that I love about this Astros team is, because everybody saw the struggles and the 100 losses before the 100 wins and everything they did. Now, I've never seen, and I know how many people hate the Patriots. And I know there were a lot of people, the Spurs are close, but a lot of people still didn't like the Spurs after a while. But when you look at this Astros team, and maybe it's because it's the David Goliath mentality still of the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Dodgers, but even across the country, unless you really like the Dodger fans and you've beat them several years in a row and things like that, but for the most part, if you're an indifferent baseball fan, you like the Astros. There's a lot of people that make them a really, really likable team, which is very, very cool. So we'll continue to talk about that. We got a special guest coming up.
Hey, well, we're going to do it right now then.
All right.
Guys, joining us on the show, we were excited about this. Robbie Lawler of the UFC is joining us on the show. And before I... Oh, we lost him again. All right. Well, stick around. We're going to go to a break. We're going to try to get him back on the show. Big fight this weekend, UFC on ESPN 5 with Robbie Lawler versus Colby Covington. It's going to be big. So we'll try to get him back, get these technical difficulties figured out. And we'll be joined by Robbie Lawler on the other side, hopefully. Stick around. More to come. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God to justify.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. First hour of the show. 3-hour extravaganza we call The Usual Suspects. We've been kicking it around on a lot of topics. As you heard, we're going to have a special guest for you. Robbie Lawler should be joining us before we hit the 2 o'clock time slot. So stay tuned for that. That should be some good stuff. We were kicking around baseball before that. And before that, we were talking about pet names. I have to throw a bit of a change up on you guys to get your thoughts. My brother-in-law is listening in California, and he said out in the Palm Springs area that it's very popular to use either a Mr. or a Ms. or a Miss in naming their pets. Nope. Like Miss Daisy, Mr. Rogers. They use that a lot. Would that be constituted like a middle name? No. I think that's just weird.
That's just a surname. Right? Yeah, or not right. A surname, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. So, no. I mean, it's weird. It's definitely weird. Also sounds like a very white person thing to do.
Meaning me, Mr. Bigglesworth.
Yeah, but I'm not going to call my cat Mr. Sebastian. I don't even want to call him Sebastian, really. That's weird.
Well, you don't. Call him Gordo.
Call him Gord, yeah. somebody said, my son named our Rottweiler Lowdown Dirty Shame.
That's fantastic.
We call him Shame. I guess Dirty would be his middle name. I'm black, by the way.
I like that.
That's outstanding. And then we got this one. My buddy's dog name is Lucy Pagoosey Thompson. That's a white person.
Without question.
Pagoosey? That's definitely a white person. Hey, real quick, guys. So we don't have any technical issues when we get Robbie Lawler from the USC to join us to talk about UFC on ESPN 5. We are going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. Hang tight.
ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media station.
Sounds fascinating.
Boom. Hey, I'm excited about this interview. I've been kind of studying what he's been doing in the media because there's been a lot of talk and back and forth between Covington and Lawler. So this is going to be fun. I want to get his thoughts on it. On the fight. I do notice, though, Robbie Lawler is one of those cats that's very calm and cool. I mean, he's been doing this since 2001. Nothing you say or do is going to rattle him, right? Like, I mean, you know, even the Nate Diaz got a little upset with Conor McGregor. That's not Lawler's style. He's just like, whatever, whatever. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts. I don't expect many fireworks. That's not his style. But it's going to be interesting, his thoughts on everything else that's going on. And one of the things I want to know is, does he feel like he's settling, right? Because he wanted the rematch with Ben Askren. He wanted Tyron Woodley. So does he feel like he's settling on this fight that's really not for a belt or anything else, just to maybe move back up in the ranks? So,
all right, that should be a good one.
Yeah.
Should be fun there. So we'll get ready for that. I told you guys that. I thought the weirdest thing I've ever seen in terms of dynamics when watching UFC and being at some of the big UFCs at Toyota Center and having the opportunity to go backstage after a fight and seeing two fighters that just wanted to rip each other's heads off, like giving bro hugs and talking and chatting it up. And I started asking some of the USC folks that I know, like, hey, how much of this is just staged for the public? And he's like, no, I mean, these guys are all working for the same common goal. And obviously when they're in the ring, they definitely want to win, but they understand the marketing aspect of it. And they realize that if people aren't on board with the animosity and some of the emotions, that it's a harder fight to sell. And so, I mean, you kind of
it depends. Some guys do hype it up and they'll find a reason to hate each other because it'll get them motivated and it'll get the crowd motivated and it'll get ticket sales up. But some dudes legitimately do not like each other.
And you can, I think a lot of times you can feel that. You can sense that at the weigh-ins, the press conferences, those kind of things.
Like, I think Covington wants Robbie Lawler to hate him. And maybe Lawler does, but I don't think it's a, you know, it's not like the animosity that you see between Khabib and Conor McGregor like that. Like, that's legit. When you start throwing dollies through bus windows, that's legitimate hate. That's legitimate disdain. But just talking and some of the chatter that goes on before a fight, some of that is ticket sales. And there are instances where it's not, and locally and, you know, at the UFC level. So, it's a fight. I mean, you're fighting somebody.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's an interesting dynamic to follow when you get two guys to see how much disdain there really is. And you can tell in a heartbeat when they're going nose to nose that I just think people want that. If they see that, they're more likely to pay-per-view. They're more likely to tune in ESPN. They're more likely to go, oh, I can't miss that.
Yeah. Have you ever been cage side at a UFC or MMA fight?
I sat cage side for the big UFC, one of the big ones at Toyota Center.
I love being cage side. The worst part of being cage side, though, is when you get blood on you.
Lisa was grossed out. She'll never go back again.
Not fun. Not fun at all. And we could talk about that and much more. Joining us now on The Usual Suspects, a man who really needs no introduction, but he is deserving of one because he's that good, so I'm going to give it to him. 18-year fight career, 42 fights with a record of 28-13-1. UFC welterweight champ, 2 times title defenses. 4 times fight of the night, 1 time knockout of the night, fight of the year in 2014 and 2015, fighter of the year in 2014 and 2015, one of the most popular fighters in mixed martial arts. He's one of the most dynamic fighters in mixed martial arts, and he's got a bout coming up this weekend against Colby Covington on UFC on ESPN 5. Joining us now on the show, Robbie Lawler. Robbie, how goes it?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Very good, man. I'm excited about this fight. I always enjoy watching you fight. Obviously, you being a fan favorite and a guy who goes out there and doesn't quit until the fight is over. To kick things off, I was curious, though. I mean, you wanted the rematch with Askren. You know, you wanted that rematch with Woodley, and it was called off because he hurt his hand. And now you have this fight with Covington. Do you feel at all like this is kind of a settling just to kind of get back up to the top of the weight class?
No, it's a big opportunity. It presented itself about 5 weeks ago, and talked to my coaches, talked to my manager, and we were like, all right, let's do this.
I mean, there was obviously some talk. We were just talking before you joined us about bad blood, and sometimes things get said out of legitimate hate and vitriol, and sometimes things are said to sell tickets. And, you know, it's no secret that Covington went on and said that you left American Top Team for all the wrong reasons, that you left because there was pictures on the wall of Tyron Woodley. Is that really true? Is that why you left ATT?
That's funny. I mean, that's the story he's saying, and believe me, I don't really care what he's saying. So I'm just going to leave it at that, and anybody can believe whatever they want to believe.
What's the big difference now? You're over at Hard Knocks. What is the big difference between camp at AT&T and now camp at Hard Knocks?
Oh, we're not going to compare. I mean, they're just two different places. This is where I'm at. There's no reason to compare the two. This is where I'm at. That's where he's at, and that's it.
Do you find that was the transition difficult? Did you already have kind of friends or anybody within the camp itself at Hard Knocks that made going from ATT over there easier?
No, I mean, I've been doing this a long time, been competing a long time, had some, it's just live and learn and adapt to the situation you're at, and that's it.
You're calm in the cage, you're calm out of the cage. I was watching an interview with you yesterday, and it was funny because some guy I think was trying to ask you about, you know, getting the fight to the ground and on the feet and everything, and you pretty much just stepped in and said, "I get what you're saying. I'll answer the question." Is that how you are all the time, or is there this hidden rage that we don't see that you don't want us to see?
No, I'm just trying to control myself, be a professional, and have discipline. I mean, that's what this sport's all about. That's what martial arts about, is being disciplined, and that's it.
You've been in the game since 2001, and probably before that as an amateur and coming up through the ranks, and that's a long career. What's different now in the fight game than back in 2001? What's the biggest difference to you?
The difference is there was four fights a year then.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now it's what? you have guys
sometimes
have...
Sometimes four a month.
Yeah.
UFC fights.
Do you worry? I mean, this is your job. Do you worry about, on a macro level, kind of oversaturation of the fight game and people getting too much of it?
No, I don't really worry about those things because I can't control what's going on with that. I can control just basically how I'm training and the things that I'm doing, my diet and those things. Those are the kind of things that I focus on. I don't try to focus on things that are out of my control.
Gotcha. Unfortunately, lost three of your last four fights. Does that weigh on you at all? Does it add any pressure to you when you, is this like a must-win fight for you?
Nope. It's the same. Every fight's the same. Doesn't matter if there's two people watching, one people watching, or 8 million people watching. It's a fight, me versus this guy and the ref. I don't oversell anything. It's just me going out to battle somebody, and I'm going to fight the same way. If I'm the first fight of the night or the main event of the fight, it's important.
He's a wrestler. Covington is. He's got good wrestling skills, but a lot of times wrestlers when they fight, they go the distance a lot of times. It's kind of a grinded out fight. And you're known as a fifth round guy. And I think half of his fights have gone the distance and gone to a decision. Does that give you an advantage, though, being able to be a guy in the fifth round that can fight with the same energy or even turn it up a notch, kind of like you did in the Carlos Condit fight? Do you feel that if this is a grinder of a fight, that it's your advantage going into that last round?
Obviously, he's a well-trained athlete. He keeps a good pace and... But you just—I've been 25 minutes before. I've fought in these title fights before and main event fights. So I've gone 25 minutes, and I know I'm going to be ready and fighting hard and looking for knockouts late in the fight. And I'm willing to dig deep.
So I'm not going to ask you about strategy because I've been interviewing fighters for almost 10 years now, and the one thing I've learned is you guys are never going to tell us what the game plan is going into a fight for sure. But when you have a dominant striker like yourself versus a guy who's a good wrestler, then you know that it really comes to a lot of the fight comes down to takedowns, whether it's execution or defense. Do you focus on your strengths in a camp? Like, okay, I'm a striker. I'm going to focus on my striking. Or do you try to say, all right, I'm going to figure out what my weakness is versus an opponent, and that's what I'm going to work on the most during a training camp, like takedown defense?
You focus on your weaknesses and you focus on your strength, and that's what you should do year round. You got to work on every aspect. You never know where the fight's going to go, and you have to be ready for everything. So, yeah, you have to focus on everything and make sure you're sharp and listen to your coaches and make sure you're getting more technical and working on all areas.
This long, I mean, what, 18 years now? It's weird for me to hear a guy that's been doing it as long as you say, well, I'm just trying to get better. Like, how much better can you really get?
A lot better. I mean, there's a lot of techniques that I'm still learning and, like, little things here, little thing there. They add up, and people don't see them. I'm like, oh, man, he did this. But, yeah, you didn't see all the little itty-bitty pieces that – helped you do those things? Because I had a lot of the big tools and a lot of the techniques, but it's like the little things that count. And I have really good coaches, really good training partners around me to help me on all the little things to help me do big things.
Well, I won't put you on 40 like that one reporter did when he asked you as a fighter at 40 years old, because I saw that that upset you a little bit, tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
No, but, I didn't upset me, but I thought it was funny.
So what's the difference, though, fighting at 37 versus 27? What's the different approach that you have? I can't imagine that the weight cut gets easier as you get older.
No, weight cut's fine. You've learned more, so you have more experience. And if it's getting harder, that means you haven't learned, you haven't adapted, you haven't. The weight cut should get easier.
Okay.
Because you know what you should do further out. You should be more disciplined here. You should do this here. So it's just sharpening all those things and always trying to get better and remembering those things and continuing to grow.
Do you have plans to fight into your 40s?
We'll see what happens. I have a plan to fight on Saturday, and that's it. One fight at a time. I'm not looking to 40. I'm looking to Saturday.
Oh, dang it. Well, okay. Well, what about after Saturday?
Then I'm going home and spending time working out, and then we're going on vacation for a couple of days.
The thoughts on where are you going on vacation? Where are you going?
Probably just to Disney World.
Oh, just nice. That's outstanding. You ever been?
Yeah, I've been a few times.
Okay, cool. I saw where Covington, the Trump brothers, plan to be cage side. What do you make of that? Is this just more hype? Is this just him trying to be the next Conor McGregor and stir things up for no reason? What do you make of that?
I don't make it. There's going to be lots of people. My brothers are going to be there.
All right.
They're just people to me.
Gotcha. Besides that, what's the stupidest question you've ever been asked in an interview?
I don't know, but yeah, I don't really get excited for who's in the stands, who's there. It doesn't matter if there's one person, the president's there. Does not matter. It's just me versus him. That's it.
Really, you don't. I mean, you don't strike me as the kind of guy that would do that. But if there was, if there's no celebrity that you would be like not starstruck by, but oh, that's cool that this person's here, or I'm gonna put on a show for this person. That's not a thing, huh?
No, I'm gonna put on a show because that's what I do. Doesn't matter if there's no one there or a million people there. It's just you fight the same way. At least I do.
There you go. Well, God, I appreciate you joining us, Robbie. Thank you so much for taking the time out. I know you're busy. We're going to let you get back to it. You got a media blitz that you have to take care of. But thank you for joining us here on The Usual Suspects, man. And good luck this weekend.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right, that's Robbie Lawler, UFC welterweight. Got a big fight coming up on ESPN 5. UFC on ESPN 5 fighting Colby Covington in Newark, August 3rd. So check it out. We'll be back with more right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.